all about the pendants, baby.
Hello, IT. Have you tried turning it off and on again?
To start, press any key. Where's the any key?
Excuse me. I believe you have my stapler.
Welcome to We Are Technologies User Friendly with host Bill Sickens, technology architect.
And this is User Friendly. I am your host, Bill Sickens. We've got a great show for you this week, a number of different things coming up. We're going to be looking at a number of topics dealing with technology because next week is going to be our live show from the San Diego Comic-Con. We're going to be talking about getting ready for that and finalizing things and what is left to think about. But on today's show, we've got a couple of different things. We're going to be talking about AIs, including a new function that will allow you to get legal advice via your smart speaker. That could be interesting. We're going to be looking at holographic cell phones and some of the technology that's coming out with that and how that's going to work. We're going to be reviewing the new Microsoft Surface laptop and talking about some of the advantages and disadvantages. Also, last week was the Net Neutrality Day of Action. So we're going to be having a little bit of a discussion on what actually is net neutrality and what does it mean for you. Also joining us are going to be our own Mr. Movie, who's going to give us a review of Planet of the Apes. And we have a guest, Ray Matthews, who's going to be on from the Shakespeare at Tahoe show. And talking about that, they are in, I believe, their 35th season or somewhere around there. Great thing to do if you want a weekend out and you're up in the beautiful Lake Tahoe area. It is absolutely something that is an experience that you will never have anywhere else. One User Friendly on Facebook. One User Friendly on Twitter. We are still cataloging your questions. And I've started doing that, but there were a few more than we expected. So we will be getting all of those rounded up, probably not next week, but after San Diego Comic-Con, we'll be going through and doing a live show answering some of that and might even for the first time have some call-ins. So we'll see how that works out. Userfriendlyshow.com on the internet. You can go there to get all of our past shows as well as Google Play or the iTunes Store. Available this season for free. Newest ones are always posted there a day earlier than anywhere else. Check them out on your device and join us after the break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to User Friendly.
I hear that something odd's been going on with Verizon, like a hack?
Well, actually, technically, what they called it was a security lapse.
Oh.
So, the numbers haven't been completely finalized yet, but we know it's somewhere between 4 million and 16 million Verizon client records got exposed this week.
That's a lot.
That is a lot either way you look at it. Now, one thing to clear up from the original report that was put out on this when it went into the media, it actually only affects subscribers of wireline phones in the areas that they provided. So it's not the wireless division.
Oh, I was looking at my phone like, oh no.
Well, and a lot of us were. And originally when CBS reported this, it looked like it was the wireless. And part of the reason why that happened is because the way that it was released by Verizon is they didn't give any details on it at all initially and still haven't actually confirmed the numbers, which is why that's got such a wide range. But what happened was, is a situation where a subcontractor for Verizon uploaded this database with however many millions of subscribers it was to an S3 bucket on Amazon. Now, to say that in English, Amazon is a hosting service. We use them, and so do most of the world's biggest companies, that allows you to put your website and different software and applications out on the web. Do a very good job at it, but they do have security set up on that where certain things are made public, website, you know, anybody wants to look at it should be able to, and other data is kept encrypted and private. And what apparently happened is the person that uploaded this file put it in a public place. So one of the questions that's been asked about this, is this actually a security breach?
That sounds like a big pile of money in the middle part of the bank and not in the safe.
Something like that.
Well,
and the best way that I can compare these two would be to think of a breach as if someone breaks into your house and bypasses your lock and alarm system and they're able to get in. That's a breach. What the Verizon contractor here did, to use that same analogy, was more like take all of your valuables, put them on the front lawn, and if somebody knows your street name, they can get to it.
Yeah,
I think that's a little different.
Yeah.
It was published as a very easy-to-guess URL, And the rumor that I've heard about it was the URL was actually myverizondata.com got you to the S3 bucket. Now, I might not be accurate on that, but it was something along those lines. So if you are a Verizon wireline subscriber, and obviously there's still a lot of you out there if there's the ability for the millions of records to have been lost, go on and change your PIN code. And what Verizon has done for everybody, including wireless customers, is the next time you log into your account, it will prompt you to do that. If you have multiple lines on your account, you only need to change the PIN code once on the account, and that will do all of the lines. One of the really enjoyable things that we've all had producing this show has been the ability to go to Comic-Cons and a lot of different events with cosplayers and costumes and see the just very cool, creative thing that so many people different can come up with. But costuming and performance arts is certainly not just limited to Comic-Cons. There are a number of other events, live theater, and all kinds of different things you can do. And one of the very first people that we have seen plays and that type of thing, of course, is Shakespeare. And performed well, Shakespearean plays can be beautiful. And if you ever get a chance to get up to Lake Tahoe, I recommend it for a variety of reasons, but one of the things up there at Sand Harbor is the ability to actually see Shakespearean plays. And they've been produced for many, many seasons. And on that end, the director, member of the board of directors of the Shakespearean Festival for Lake Tahoe, Ray Matthews, is now joining me on the show. Ray, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm with the Lake Tahoe Shakespeare Festival, and we have a beautiful venue out in Tahoe where we put on two wonderful plays every year, and we run for 8 weeks in the summer. We're very excited to present this year The Hound of the Baskervilles and Love, Labor's Lost.
That sounds absolutely wonderful. How long have you been doing plays up there?
The Lake Tahoe Shakespeare Festival has been around for 45 seasons.
Oh, wow. That's absolutely incredible. What got Shakespeare started up at the lake?
It started in 1972, actually. And it was just a way to have theater for the locals and visitors on the shore. And it started off very small, and it has steadily grown over the years. And now it's quite a big production.
Is the production still presented up at Sand Harbor?
It is, yes. We've been at Sand Harbor since 76.
So for anyone that hasn't been to Sand Harbor, it's worth the experience. It's just heaven up there, in my opinion. And tell us a little bit about the venue, because I know you've been able to add on to it over the years and that type of thing.
We have. So the venue is gorgeous. It's one of the most beautiful venues in the world. The lake is directly behind the stage. So when you're sitting in the seats, you can see the lake and the sunset while you're watching the program. And it's all outdoors, and so you can dig your toes into the sand. However, we do have very comfortable seats in every single section that are already preset and dug into the sand, so no need to bring in chairs and coolers and blankets like you used to. And we also have our on-site kitchen and bar. You can come in, order dinner, order a drink, or even bring in your own picnic to enjoy.
Well, that is absolutely, absolutely worth the experience. How does somebody purchase tickets for the show? What's your website, and how do they get in contact with you?
So our website is laketahoeshakespeare.com. And our phone number is 1-800-74-SHOWS, and both ways will get you tickets to see our show.
Okay, and I know you said it runs for 8 weeks during the summer, and I understand you're in production now. Is that correct?
That's correct.
What are the actual dates?
So we opened on the 8th, and we run until August 27th. We actually extended a week this year.
Oh, that sounds incredible. Well, check them out, and we will have the website also posted on the Twitter feed. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
We'll be back after the break.
Welcome back to User Friendly. One user friendly on Facebook, one user friendly on Twitter, and I'm going to let a little secret out of the bag, the cat out of the bag, so to speak, here. We're going to be bribing. Oh, maybe I better find a better word for that. Submit your questions, though, and if we use them on the air, you're going to get a free t-shirt. That's going to start in September with our next season. But submit your questions now because you'll already be in the running.
T-shirts.
Thank you for that. We're just getting in the right mode here because in 2 days we are headed down to San Diego for the biggest Comic-Con in the world.
Woo.
And we've been doing a number of things leading up to this. And this, for me, I know is my first year. Have you guys been there before?
Nope. No.
So we're going to be checking this out for the first time. The only thing that I've really seen about it is when they poke fun at it on Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
And but looking at the schedule, I'm not sure they're taking too much artistic license with that. It seems like...
Oh, the schedule is intense.
The I tried to download a list of what was happening on Saturday, and just to download the page took almost 30 seconds, and then it was like to try to sort through it and see everything that there was. There is actually a Comic-Con app, which I have installed and been playing with a little bit, which is going to be interesting. Although, one of the things that came in the kit is don't depend on your mobile device, because there's so many people attending this thing that the networks are going to be overwhelmed.
I read that as well.
As long as my phone camera still works, I think I'll be fine.
Yeah, I don't think that's the problem. But I know we've pre-ordered our t-shirts, so we officially will have those.
And, yay!
And we have parking.
We have parking. Yeah, Jeremy, talk a little bit about that. I think you were the one that...
Yeah, it was interesting, because I didn't know that there was a lottery for the parking when we originally got our tickets. And I found out that there was a parking lottery after we'd gotten our... after the lottery day had passed. So then I had to wait for parking to open up. And we actually did get parking, but it was like $40 for a day instead of 10, which, you know, it's a little much.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the game, though. And part of the first-year experience, I'm sure we'll run into a few things like that we'll do better in the future.
Absolutely.
So what are some of the things you're wanting to look at when we get there?
Well, there's going to be all the booths with all the people having all the exclusive, only sold at San Diego Comic-Con stuff. So, I mean, we're talking to everybody who's got anything. Boom Studios, Think Geek, Loot Crate. I can go on for hours, but I can't list everybody.
What's the example of something that you will only find there?
Well, okay. Hasbro is going to they have their Black Series Star Wars figures that are 6 inches tall. They have a special, you can only get it at San Diego, Admiral Thrawn with his trophy case.
Okay.
Well, you can't get the trophy case unless you go to San Diego. You can get his figure, like, in the store regularly when they release it. But you can only get it with the trophy case stuff.
I really want the Admiral Thrawn figure.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Well, I have the feeling that's going to be one of our first stops when we get there.
Probably. but there's all kinds of things. Like, there's limited edition pins, limited edition statues and shirts. And, I mean, I just go on and on and on about all the stuff that you can only get at the Comic-Con or three times as much after the Comic-Con on eBay.
Right. And, you know, also, if you follow... the San Diego Comic-Con on Twitter, and I'm sure it's probably this way for Facebook, but I see them on Twitter. They'll give you information on on like a daily basis.
Right. Yeah, I keep getting a tweet from Wayward Geek or
Wayward
Nerd or something. Yeah, Wayward Nerd. Yeah.
I'm hoping we'll run into this person. Yeah. I've never met him.
I know he kept my from feeling anxious when we were buying the tickets. There's the word I'm looking for, anxious. When we weren't getting into the room right away, and then he keeps sending out tweets, everything's going to be okay. You know,
breathe.
We're all sold out except for 1 hour on Sunday, but everything's okay, you know, kind of thing. And what are some of the panels?
Gretchen?
Oh, well, one of the ones that caught my attention is, because I'm a big science fiction fan, was that the writer for the Babylon 5 series is supposed to be there.
Oh, cool.
Michael J. Straczynski.
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to be cool.
Yeah.
So that's great.
I mean, the list is enormous. I couldn't even begin to recite all of the interesting people as far as artists, celebrities.
It's all the TV shows and their panels and their things about talking about the next season and the last season and who knows what. It's going to be amazing.
So I'm being led to understand that we will be there in some kind of a cosplay.
Yes.
Some kind, yes.
Yes.
And... That's
what will that be?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I know it's not going to be Gungi for me.
No.
So. No, that'll be way too hot.
I think that we'll be experiencing the power of the press badge.
So, now we're actually...
If anybody's seen that picture.
I don't think anybody has.
Oh.
I'll have to put that up.
Maybe we need to tweet that.
Okay, yeah, remind me to do it. We'll put it on. But no, we're actually going to be in our Sith cosplays. I know that's going to be a lot of fun. It was also easier to travel with.
Oh, yeah.
And
one small box of stuff instead of three large boxes.
Well, that's because you're a Mandalorian normally.
Yeah, I know.
And even the Wookiee suit's quite a bit of bulk. So, you know, especially the head, mask for it and everything.
Yeah,
is huge.
I could go on with some interesting comments there.
Well, thank you for that. We will not do that right now, but in any event, we're going to be covering everything and bringing you a complete breakdown and rundown of what we see and what it's like to be there, and from a perspective for going for our first time. So it's going to be kind of unique, I think.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
So that'll be our show next week. We're going to be covering a whole just bunch of stuff, and specifically on what they consider to be the big one. I believe it's the biggest in the world, followed by New York.
Probably.
Yeah. And
there's also a really big one in the UK that will be a week later.
Okay. So anyway, if you want to check it out online, it's comic-con.org. And we'll be bringing you the important stuff next week. We'll be back after the break.
The human's about to escape.
Get your paws off me, you dirty ape!
He can talk.
He can talk. He can talk. He can talk. He can talk. He can talk. He can talk.
I can sing!
Ooh, help me, Dr. Zaius!
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius! Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius! Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius!
Welcome back to User Friendly. So when I was on social media compiling some different things, there was a little cartoon that came up, and it said that if I worked for NASA, I would absolutely require that when the space shuttle lands, everybody be dressed in ape costumes. And I just had to think about this that this week with our new movie, War for Planet of the Apes, that's coming out. And joining me is our own Mr. Movie, Gary Wolcott. What did you think of the movie?
War for the Planet of the Apes is the third movie in the current series and the second co-written and directed by Matt Reeves. It continues the current prequels to one of science fiction's best ever movies, the Charlton Heston classic, The Planet of the Apes. The prequels done in the Heston era were popular and commercially successful, but they sucked. The original series even spun off into a short-lived TV show in 1974. None of them worked either. Well, it took a few decades, but eventually producers got the prequels right. Andy Serkis stars again as the chimpanzee leader Caesar. The story takes up where Dawn of the Planet of the Apes left off. The apes are on the run and trying to find a sanctuary away from humans so they can just be apes. Humans, in the meantime, are slowly succumbing to the virus that takes away most of their intelligence and leaves them as docile and as malleable as some animals. Angry about that, a rogue colonel done by Woody Harrelson has amassed an army, and he's determined to wipe out Caesar and his free apes. War is in the works. After doing Gollum in the Lord of the Rings series, Serkis has become a motion capture expert. Now, that's the technology that Reeves and other directors often use to turn real-life actors into animals and other characters. In this case, it's apes. Serkis and his co-stars nail their parts, and there's no need to suspend disbelief. Like the first two films of the series, War for the Planet of the Apes is stunning. Reeves and his special effects crews are amazing. You actually believe apes walk and talk and can be quite cunning and very dangerous. And someone please give Serkis his due. This is award-worthy work. That, along with other human actors and Harrelson's villainy, is just icing on the cake. The real treasure is a deep and rich story of survival that continues to make this one of the best science fiction series ever. Another one opening this week is Wish Upon. Budding teen star Joey King stars in an insipid horror movie of the ilk produced in bunches these days. No predictable coast in this one, but it is a twist on the genie in the bottle and has a demon in a music box who grants wishes. The granting comes at a high cost, which means predictable, dragged out, and highly manipulative deaths for this character or that. Horror movies have always been more missed than hit. Pack in teenagers and add cliche teen characters to the mix, and the miss factor increases exponentially. This is self-absorbed teen stuff that I'd, pun intended, not wish upon anyone. I'm Gary Wolcott.
Welcome back to User Friendly.
Microsoft has announced recently the release of the newest in their line of the Microsoft Surface laptops. The new one that's coming out on the market right now has some interesting ideas to it, some good and some not so good. So let's go ahead and start with what the Surface is and why it's a little bit different from some of the other laptops that you might just go in and purchase. And one of the big things that has been a part of this all along is the fact that the laptop is also a tablet. So you can actually detach the screen from the keyboard, and then you basically have a Windows tablet that you can write directly on with the pen that you can buy for it and that type of a thing, just like you could pretty much do with any other tablet. And then you also have a full computer. You pop it back onto the keyboard, and now it works like your classic laptop-style computer. So the new version that's coming out has a number of different features. They're definitely setting this up, I think, for competition with the MacBooks that are going to be updated a little later on this year. MacBooks still don't seem to have the touchscreen capability, so there are some areas here that this is a little bit
really?
Ahead. Yeah. You have them on the iPad.
Okay.
And but like your iMac.
But they don't have the, you can't touch the screen and mess with it?
Well, you can touch the screen, but it's not a touch screen. It just
so it doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the biggest update they had on those actually was to add a LED bar or LCD bar above the keyboard that could display some information, which is kind of an odd little feature. Some people like it and some don't, but they're still there. So, but this is definitely Microsoft's answer to the MacBooks
okay.
in many ways. It has been since the beginning. Now, one interesting thing that I thought just looking at this out of the box is the fact that there's fabric on the keyboard bezel. So the area where you put your hands down and when you type and stuff next to the touchpad is actually fabric.
Okay, that could be a bad thing.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Microsoft states that it's made out of the same high-end fabric that you have in cars, so that if you spill your coffee on it and stuff, you can clean it.
Well, what if you've got greasy hand lotion?
Well, and you know, the best way that I saw that phrased up is that at the end of the day, humans are gross.
And, yeah.
And that's a problem because you do get skin oils and all that type of thing in it. And it seems like it would be difficult to clean. It's kind of neat when you first look at it. It's very different.
Mm-hmm.
But it is definitely fabric on the keyboard. Took me a little bit of getting used to. The second thing that I noticed about it that I'm not sure quite how I feel with this is that unless you get the pro version, it ships with an operating system called Windows 10S. There we go. I can actually say Windows.
Is that for small?
No, the S is supposed to stand for student. So I started doing a little digging to see what the difference was actually between that and the other ones out there. And it seems to come down to one very simple thing. The S version only allows you to install applications that are in the Microsoft Store.
Oh.
So you can't put a CD or media in or download off the internet unless it's approved and distributed through their store.
Well, what if you need a Photoshop product? I mean, Adobe product.
Yeah, that would be the one, you know, those type of concerns are pretty much any. I couldn't.
Or Autodesk. Or
we couldn't even install World of Warcraft. I mean, I'm not sure that makes
dear.
It a computer. But now, it is possible to update the operating system to a standard version of Windows 10. But I don't know. I kind of like the idea of when I take my new $1,000 computer, the retail price is $999.
Mm-hmm.
So when I take my new $1,000 computer out of the box, I want to be able to plug it in and have it work.
You want to do what you want to do with
reinstall
it.
Reinstall the operating system.
Yeah,
so
that brings along all the complaints of everybody's stuff of I bought this thing and then I had to do 10 hours worth of upgrades.
Yeah, and it's
right out of the box. That's a bad idea.
One of the things I think that they're trying to compete with a little bit is Google's Chrome OS.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
That has the same thing. You install applications from Play Store, and there are ways to get around that with debug mode and things. But under normal circumstances, that would be what it is. But the difference being is that Windows has been the de facto standard for almost 30 years now. And there are many, many, many applications for it that one might want to run
yeah.
that are not necessarily in the Windows Store.
It just seems really strange that they would want to limit the product's ability instead of having that open door like, this can do anything, you know?
Now, in a statement from Microsoft, they're saying that the reason for this is that way the applications have been pre-screened and won't contain malware. And while that is definitely something to consider, I don't know. It seems like the limitations take away more from the protection you would get from that. And as long as you run an antivirus and take a few steps just to be careful, you're going to be okay with that anyway. So, but as a unit is concerned, they're pretty powerful. and new generation of the Intel processors. They're all based on Intel's set. The i7 version, which is in the Pro, works well and quickly and all of that. Solid-state hard drive, which I recommend to anybody buying a computer now. It's a huge difference over the old mechanical. So it does have some very good things. And if your purpose of buying your computer is to get on and check email and browse the web and that type of things, this is a good solution. If you need to do some more stuff, like, oh, I don't know, install a game in certain circumstances.
Or do drafting or artwork.
And I do think that we're going to see with this is that some applications like your Adobe products probably will be offered eventually through the Microsoft Store. But the other side of it is from a programmer standpoint, you're looking at right now, you can sell your software directly. And if you go through the store, of course, Microsoft gets a little bit of the money that the user would spend on buying that program. So again, you know, maybe there's a little bit of an ulterior motive with that. But again, you're free to upgrade. So as long as you don't mind buying the system and then buying another version of Windows and then setting it up, you can get it to be where everything else is. And if you get the Pro version, it's standard Windows 10 Pro out of the box. So I don't know. I think as a bottom line thing, I have not been happy with my laptops in the last few years. I was disappointed with my Lenovo. I was disappointed with my Toshiba. I think this is a nice looking system. I like the ability to make it into a tablet, but also have it as a regular standard computer when you want it to be. So those features are cool, and they've been out there for a little while. I'm going to have to think a little bit about the Fabric keyboard,
yeah,
and just see how that stands up. If it's it's definitely more comfortable to use, at least initially. But Gretchen, like you say, it would get dirty. I mean, just oil, yeah, and stuff. So, but I guess the material in your car you can clean. So, it's just one of those things. We're going to have to see how it wears.
Yeah.
So a little bit unusual. Anyway, the laptop's available through pretty much any electronics distributor, your Best Buy, Fry's, Amazon, and so on. Check it out. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to User Friendly. One User Friendly on Facebook, one User Friendly on Twitter, userfriendlyshow.com. Jump online, get involved, and join us. Let us know what you want to hear, because we actually do plan our topics based on the questions and comments we get. And there have been so many great ones out there. We just have enough material to keep on going here, and it is because of you that we've got that. So keep it coming. Now, next to me on the set here is a Imperial Star Destroyer. Gretchen, how did you fit that into the room here?
Magic.
I understand. It's the power of the Force. So yeah, why did, exactly, I even ask?
Yeah. Well, this is actually kind of a cool little toy. And I don't know. How many of you out there used to build model airplanes, model tanks, model cars, model battleships, and you remember those tedious hours of carefully removing the pieces from those frame structures? And,
yeah, the sprues.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. And, I built all those things.
And then all the painting, and then the horrible glue. And
I was going to say, I remember the glue vaguely, although after about 5 minutes, I didn't remember much.
Well, see, that's the thing. They made the blue tube because people were getting high on the orange tubes. So.
Oh, that's good to know. We'll give more instructions on Twitter about that. So anyway, yes, I do remember the glue and the paint and all of it.
The glue and all that hard work. And, you know, when you're young, some of that stuff's a bit overwhelming. So this kind of seems like a new product. Well, maybe it's not a new product. It's by Revell, because Revell's been making model airplane kits and those kind of things for a
many
long
years.
Time.
Yeah.
For like ever.
And this one just happens to be an Imperial Star Destroyer, and it is a little advertisement here says snap tight build and play model kit.
Yep, no glue.
Yeah, no glue.
So this is
cool?
A model you can put together, and you don't have to actually glue it.
Yeah, and the instructions. Jeremy and I did it in about 10 minutes, but it is designed for children.
Right.
So this is something that you could give your kid as a beginning if they really want to start building models. This is a good place to start.
Now, have you actually put this together?
Oh, yeah. It took us about, like I said, 10 minutes. And this particular model is actually pretty well detailed. I wish I could show it to you. One of the fun features is that when you press a certain button, the engines light up, and it also makes a noise here.
So is there a circuit board in there, or and does it come separately, or how did that work?
The engine section that actually lights up is one piece. So you install that, and then you add all the extra pieces onto the end, and it lights up, and the button is included in that small engine section, so that all you have to do is replace that one part.
Yeah, and then you can unscrew it and change the battery, and you could probably have many years of fun with this, and it's pretty sturdy.
So, Richard, what I'm going to ask you to do for the audience is take a couple of stills, and we'll go ahead and put it up on the website and put a link next to where you play back the podcast.
Okay.
So that our listeners can actually see this. There's a lot of detail to it, especially for something that takes 10 minutes to put together. Now, it doesn't look like you paint that.
You know, Jeremy, that'd be kind of, what do you think?
Well, it's molded in gray plastic, so painting it would be kind of superfluous. But, I mean, you could
do like a wash to make the lines show up. So if you put like a dark wash and then quickly wipe it off, you might be able to make these lines more prominent.
And stand out more. But
I mean, I can assure you what's-her-face on Rebels would paint it.
Sabine.
Sabine, yes.
What's-her-face. I'm sure she'd love that. Hi, my name's What's-her-face.
Oh, I always tell everybody, I never remember a name, but I always forget a face. So there you are. So you could paint that if you wanted to, and you could leave it if you didn't.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that seems really cool. Where do you buy? Is this just something that's available at a Target?
I found it at Walmart.
Walmart, okay. And I'm sure you can order them online. But like I said, we'll have some pictures and show everybody what it is. But I can see where this is a great gift. You don't have the hazardous materials. What age levels are these? I mean, I'm sure there's some small parts and stuff, so you'd want to be careful of that, right?
Okay, yeah. Let me look at the box.
I think it's ages 8 and up, but, you know, maybe I'm wrong.
Okay.
All right, maybe I need glasses.
It's the box at the top there in the red.
Oh, you mean up here?
Yeah.
Here, I'll just hand it over to you.
Okay, fine. Yeah, it says level 2, ages 8 to 10. Oh, wow, I blew that right out of the water.
Okay, yeah, you got it. Okay, so ages 8 and up. So that's good. So it'd be a great birthday or holiday present.
Oh,
and
I would have loved that as a kid.
I would have actually probably gotten into model building had we had those. I know my first couple of tries, I just never could quite get it to look like it did on the box.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they always had those little, they had little tiny pegs and that we were supposed to put the little dab of glue on. This had that same system, but the pegs held the whole thing together.
Yeah, and there isn't any of those annoying decals. I remember used to, let's soak the decals in the water, you know, and you had to grab them out right at the perfect moment.
Now, I'm not a model builder, and I know there's people, Jeremy, you're as a for example, that are very good at such things. Our game reporter, Bill Snodgrass, is also excellent at painting figures and models. And it's just not a skill that I've ever had, but I could see where that could be a lot of fun. How much did this set you back?
I don't recall, but I think it was like $25 to $30.
Okay. So in 2017, that's actually not that bad for a toy.
It lights up. I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah.
They did have other model kits that were less expensive, but they didn't light up.
All right. Well, thank you. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to User Friendly. We have seen technology from a lot of good and sometimes not so good science fiction play out in real life. The Motorola flip phone is said to have come from the original Star Trek series. And we see that playing into what is becoming something that we're going to see pretty standard pretty soon is holographic technology, like what you see in Star Wars.
That would be cool.
That would be totally cool.
I got to get a sneak peek at something.
Really? Tell us more.
So they have been working on this, and physicists very recently, a few months ago, made a breakthrough that actually will allow, at least in the lab, the kind of thing that you see in the Star Wars films. And right now what they're actually trying to do is package this up and put it in a device that's about the size of a smartphone. And the way that it works is actually pretty unique. Right now it's a gray image. I'm sure we'll get color eventually, just like with anything else, but they're starting with that. And the image stood about 6 inches off the screen.
Wow.
And you can actually see through it.
6 inches.
6 inches, yeah. So it was pretty decent.
That's pretty damn cool.
So you have a projection matrix inside of the device that's actually capable of doing this. And some of the problems they have right now is it's very power intensive, as you can imagine, and things like that. It won't run off a battery. You have to actually power the device. And
I mean, do I have to carry a car battery with me for that?
I wouldn't think in a production device. But again, right now we're talking about something in the lab. And the point being that it actually can be done at this point.
That is still pretty intense.
That's terrific.
So three-dimensional. You kind of see through what's being projected, so you can see behind it. It's not like a monitor where it's separates from the rest of the room. So it is independent in that respect. And like I say, I think this is a technology that we're going to see coming up. Holographic imaging's been out there with multiple cameras, being able to pick up 3D images and that type of thing for a while. So really what it comes down to, it's been the ability to recreate it, not the ability to capture the data, that has been a limiting technology on this.
Absolutely.
So holographic technology in of itself, in one way or another, has been around for a while. We saw it used in the French election last year when one of the candidates appeared in five different places at the same time. And because of the way they were doing it up on stage and that type of thing, you couldn't really tell unless you knew what to look for.
Right. And they've had holograms at Coachella for years now.
Yeah. So these things do exist. But that kind of tech is a lot of it is mirrors and magic and that type of thing to make you think you're seeing something in 3D that is partly holographic, but is other things as well.
Well, they've been doing that on stage since the 1800s.
Yep. I mean, the 1800s.
You have the ghostly performer is under the stage, reflected by two pieces of glass.
I guess that's true. Yeah. That's a very early idea of it, mm-hmm. But yeah,
they've done it.
The first time I saw a version of this was at the Luxor about 15 years ago in Las Vegas. And they had a stage show that used holograms, and it was actually cool to see at the time. Based on what you'd see today, it would seem very limited, but it was an introduction to this.
Well, that's like saying a movie that was 20 years ago, the CGI was really awesome then, because it was, and now you look back at it and go, ew.
Yeah. Well, these things evolve, any of this stuff, but where we're seeing this now is actually where it is going to be a standalone image that's actually projected out of a device. You can set it in the middle of the table and have this 3D light projected
thing. So R2-D2 can send his message from Leia.
Yep. Basically, that's the direction we're heading.
Wow. You're my only hope.
So I think that we're going to be seeing this more and more, and it'll play out, and we'll be watching it in the news to see how it develops. The other thing that's always an issue with new technologies and how long it takes from a lab to getting them in your hand is the marketability of it and the viability of it. So being able to produce the device in a way that's cost effective and then actually having a commercial use of some kind for it will be important. But I could see where this type of thing, and certainly medical imagery and various other things like that, could be very useful initially.
Oh yeah, like if you had an emergency situation, you were able to point the projector, or what would it be, recorder?
It would be a form of a recorder.
A recorder at the situation and be able to send it off to like an expert and maybe get their advice. Yeah,
and they can actually see the layers and multiple depth.
And think about modeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got a guy who's designing something and he sends an image of it, somebody wearing the thing to the client.
Like, and
this is exactly what I was looking for.
And we're seeing some success with the basics of that in augmented reality with things like the Microsoft HoloLens,
right?
Which is not a holographic projection. It's basically layered over the image that you're seeing. But really, it's kind of a similar idea in how you would perceive it.
I think the HoloLens kind of idea is like a holodeck. They're trying to maybe be a precursor to something really like that.
One of the biggest naysayers say about things like AI and augmented reality, or I'm sorry, not AI, augmented reality and virtual reality, is that you have to wear the mask in order for it to work.
Right.
And having true holographic technology would eliminate that, because you wouldn't need any special hardware that you would have to wear. It would be just the device that's the projector.
But then you would also, if you really got that immersive stuff like that's like in Star Trek, you would have to have that hard light.
Yeah, that's a completely different thing.
Yeah,
and we're not there
different.
Yet.
Yeah.
No, I don't think we're even close.
Yeah.
It's but this is the start of those type of things. And really, when it comes right down to it, I think that just having the holograms work themselves is going to be kind of a big
deal. Oh, yeah. I think that'll
be
terrific.
Spectacular.
There'll be a lot of different ways to use it. So we'll be covering this more. And as the technology develops, we'll talk about it more. And At some point, maybe we can even get into a lab and do a little demo and do another video podcast.
That would be fun.
And talk about it a little bit.
Yep.
We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to User Friendly. One of the hottest new products that we've seen in recent years has been the whole idea of smart speakers. Currently winning the wars on that is certainly Amazon's offering, but right now they're predicting that smart speakers are in about 12% of U.S. households and a number that is growing by leaps and bounds. In addition to the Alexa system, Google's Home has been on the market now for about a year, and Apple is just entering the market now with their HomePod. And these devices, of course, you see them following the standard lines of all of these things. The Amazon offering has a device called an Echo, which is as little as $40 for the smaller version of it. And then the larger version of it's about $160. The Google offering is running right now about $100. And the suggested retail price of the Apple offering when it comes out is going to be $360. So a little bit pricey on their end, but... Definitely going to see how all of these work and what they do. And some of the features that are coming to them are quite incredible. One of them is actually an AI lawyer. And this is an interesting concept. They've actually had a prototype version of this out for about a year now. It's a function called Do Not Pay. And it's been used to beat things like parking tickets in major cities like New York and London and Seattle.
So the AI lawyer can beat the system?
Well, it's not so much beating the system, but it's having access to information to be able to fight the ticket.
Okay, I get. That's so cool.
So they can advise you?
Yeah, basically it is. And, you know, one of the things that I look at this is there's all kinds of rules on legal advice and who can and can't give it, of course.
Yeah, and that's been really, really annoying.
So, but it's probably also important that you don't get the wrong advice, you know.
No, but someone at the desk at the office giving me paperwork and they want me to fill out stuff and they want a number, but they can't tell me what number that it is because that would be giving me legal advice.
Yeah.
But they want that number and I have to have it, but I have to go see a lawyer to get the number that they could have just said, that's the number.
Well, and like anything else, these can be taken to an absurd point like that. But at the end of the day, there are reasons why they have it, and it's because you don't want to get bad legal advice.
So the idea of having, like, an AI that can at least kind of educate you, you know, on some simple things?
Yeah, the product's coming out publicly this Wednesday, and it's going to be something that you'll be able to try out. It'll be on the smart speakers in about another 6 months, but it'll be available through the web initially. And... to be able to sit there and ask questions and get answers on specific things, I think is going to be a unique offering. There, in the legal community, it's very split. The software has been set up by attorneys in most cases so that the advice it offers has some kind of a basis in that. But because it's a computer responding, the rules are a little bit different. And of course, there's different rules in every state and country in this case that has to be taken into consideration on that level too. But it does seem like it's a faster way to get the information and maybe does make the law more accessible because the cost to use it versus hiring a lawyer would be very different.
Well, you know, there are some questions that that are just like a one-word answer, you know, like, oh, can I do this in this location? Well, it's either yes or no, and then having to pay $100 or $200 for a simple question like that is ridiculous. So yeah. Maybe something like this would free up lawyers to have more time to deal with more complicated questions and situations.
That seems like that makes a lot of sense, and it also would give you the ability on your own to get a start to stuff. And then if you need the advice of an attorney, you can still go on from there, but you at least are able to begin and get into it and see what your situation is and how to proceed with it. So, you know, like I say, it is definitely something new and a new twist on this kind of technology that's out with the smart speakers and voice recognition and that type of thing. And I think we are going to start seeing more services like this. WebMD, of course, has been on the web for many years, so the idea of being able to get medical information might be another one.
Oh, yeah.
Which does exist in some extent, but it's definitely a direction that is where these things are going to go.
So, well, it sounds interesting.
So AIs, we'll continue to cover them and talk about what there is. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. What a show. Next week, we are going to be at the San Diego Comic-Con, and we're going to be doing a special one-hour show live from the floor. Talk about everything we see, all the different booths, panels. Talked a little bit today about what's up and coming there, but it's going to be interesting to actually see it. It will be our first time, so it's going to be a very unique perspective. One User Friendly on Twitter, One User Friendly on Facebook, userfriendlyshow.com. Jump online, get involved, ask us your questions. It's actually 2 days before we leave for the Comic-Con, so if you have anything specific you want us to answer from there, send those in now too. But get them in quickly, because it's only right around the corner, only a little bit of time left before we get there. We will talk to you next week. This is User Friendly.
User Friendly is copyright 2017, User Friendly Media Group, Inc., all rights reserved. Music used under license. Opinions expressed on this show are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of User Friendly Media Group, Inc., or this station.